Perseverance. Definition of perseverance is a steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. That is something I already had to experience this morning because nothing worked. So if I say it's good to be back, I followed up with, is it really? Question mark. No. No, really, it is good to be back, but this morning was just a disaster since my computer wasn't working. I have some kind of a virus, it's still affected. My phone all of a sudden lost all its contacts, everything, all my information was in it, was just wiped out. And then on top of that, my printer didn't work, so I almost wasn't able to give this message. And that made Mr. Norbert Link very nervous. But fortunately, I was able to send it to him, and he could print it out for me. But, let's hopefully, after today, everything will go back to normal. But you know what? That is just another test and trial that we all go through, especially me. And it goes right in hand with what I'm going to speak about today. Now, with perseverance, what intrigued me was the zeal. Let's talk about brethren over in Germany. And many of the members, and despite what the circumstances were and what they were faced with, their effort to remain faithful persevered. For example, one of our members had suffered a fractured collarbone in two places during our soccer match that we do annually. And he was then taken to the hospital by ambulance. So the ambulance actually came onto the field and took him to the hospital, and where they had determined that he did have a broken collarbone. So he then had to return back to his home, which was about 3 hours away from where we would meet for services. 2 days later, he had to go back into the hospital to have the operation done. Then the next day, that evening, he drove himself 3 hours back up to where we would meet so he could be there for the last day of 11 rep. That right there is perseverance. In spite of doing something difficult or a delay, but it didn't deter him from attending. And I just wanted to use that one example, and there are others who had similar experiences, especially when family members were involved, and they had to make a choice. What was more important? Are they going to follow family, or are they going to follow what is right? Let's say family doesn't agree with what the church teaches. However, that was not the case for others, as they found it would be too difficult to live God's way, and instead, the very things that God warned us about what not to do, which could carry them right out of the church. Now, we all know that all things are possible through God, and we are to put all our burdens on Him. And we must have the faith that He will come through for us. But when we are actually in a situation like that, do we really think of it that way? When it finally hits us, when something serious in our lives happens, let's say when our job, for example, would be a circumstance where you would have to work on the Sabbath and you have a choice to make, what will people do? Now, there are a lot of examples of, let's say, brethren in Germany, and let's just say that it's all fairly new, too, to them. I mean, it's new in Germany, so people are experiencing this as years go by. Now, many went through several various trials, and they had their faith tested to see if they would be able to persevere. And they will continue to go through trials, as we all do, just to see how strong and committed we really are. And those who are willing to be baptized, and we went through that, but we always come across new people that want to get baptized, and we had several counseling sessions about that. But they have that, let's say, they make that ultimate step, let's say, and they are filled with enthusiasm. And they are determined to live a new life. And they are filled with anticipation, a general desire or a willingness within. So you have this sudden urge, This drive in you that gets you determined for something great that lies ahead. You're willing to give up everything else you have done in your life to now start over and to live a godly life. These are all wonderful feelings to have as you know that your life is about to start over, spiritually speaking, of course, as you get rid of the old man and become the new man. However, it is not easy. It's not an easy road, as trials and tribulations will come to test us how strong we really are. Can we handle the burdens we go through? Whether it be money problems, working on the Sabbath, whether it's family, material possessions, and so on and so forth. Better yet, will we put our burdens into God's hands and trust that He will take care of us, no matter what the problems are that we are faced with? And many trials, as we know, occur before Passover. And it could be one of two things. One, Satan tries to do whatever possible to discourage us from taking the Passover. Or, God tests us to see how determined we are to live His way of life and to remain faithful, as it is the most important occasion of the year, as it is also the most important decision we make each year to take the Passover so we can continue to live a godly life. I wonder how many people actually really thought of it that way. This really is the most important decision that we have to make, and the world's not going to understand that, only we do. So I have some questions I want to ask, some questions that were asked when over there with other members. Is your life filled with joy, or is it filled with sorrow and doubt? Are you let down easily, or do you take criticism harshly? Do you take it personally? Do you take it with a proud heart? Are you easily offended? Is God trying to tell you something through the ministry when something is revealed to you? Is your life affected through others? Are you surrounded by drama? Or does drama surround your life? You know, these are things that one must consider as each and every one of us is tested in our own way, in just the things that could affect us the most, the things that we struggle with the most. So look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse 14. It's exactly the kind of things that the disciples had to go through and Paul had to go through. As he says here in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, we start, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For all what I will do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do." This is a human nature. "If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good," which means it is still in effect. The law is not done away with. "But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice." It's not that he just does it one time. It comes all the time. So I have to always be on guard. It sneaks up on us. And oftentimes it could be the very thing, the very same thing that we constantly do. Verse 20, "Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." There is definitely a contrast here between good and between evil. And so, as he says, verse 24, he's a wretched man because he goes through these things. But then he has God to thank to get him out of those things. And I'll go into what you should do so you can do the right thing. The world distracts us, and it will continue to do so. We can get distracted very easily with the things that we are involved with in our lives. There is no problem being motivated with our own personal interests, but when it comes to our spiritual lifestyle, what is it that we can do spiritually to motivate us and to persevere amidst this busy life we find ourselves in? Prayer. It never fails. It is extremely powerful because it brings forth a faith inside of us, knowing that God is the only one that can make anything happen. And as much as we have a part to do in our belief, God will respond and take action. And my dad and I, we experienced a lot of this while in Germany. And through every important decision that we had to make, prayer was crucial. Whether it was during the baptisms, or whether it was during the Passover service, when it was during anointings, anointing sick, whatever it may be, counselings. With everything that we did, prayer was always there. When it comes to our spiritual needs, prayer is just as beneficial. We go through trials on a continual basis, and we get sidetracked often. What do we do when that happens? James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 6. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. How true that is. And I just went through that this morning. Trial after next. And, you know, after a while, fortunately, after a short while, then it starts to get a little better. And, yeah. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of sea driven and tossed by the wind. So when you go through a trial, let's say, is the first thing that you think about is prayer? Probably not. But try that. Try it sometimes, no matter how you feel. And yeah, I had to do that this morning. So when nothing was working that I could fix, you know, it really was to put it in God's hands, and you'll be amazed how that works out. Even if he doesn't answer right away, but he will, you know, you just have to keep the faith. What James is telling us here, he's admonishing us to keep the faith, or to ask in faith, without doubting, especially during times we need him the most, when our motivation begins to deteriorate. Let's also look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. This is how we go on in this world. This is what we are to do. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, remember, we're being watched. We are targets to this world, but not just to the world. God is watching everything we are doing. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yes, even Christ went through perseverance. Verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Again, we have to remember that there is a great witness around us, those who can see the things that we are doing. And when it comes to God, everything that God has created, we can witness to his existence. Have we sometimes just taken the time and take notice of all the things that God has done for us and admire all that he has made? So let's say if we do have a prayer that is answered, do we actually respond with a prayer thanking him? Have we sometimes, just knowing that, we should be willing to lay aside every weight and sin that easily ensnares us. Here we need to pray to God to show us that we need to change and fix in our lives. That's a constant thing we always need. We always need a fix in our lives when we go through problems. It is not only sin that can hinder us, but it's also people or anything else that we are involved with that can do the same thing. There could be someone or something in our life that can prevent us from doing what God wants us to do. And if so, we need to fix the problem by reevaluating our relationship with others and also by asking God for wisdom and guidance to make the right choices. Others need to understand that for us, God comes first over all things without compromising. So when we have removed the things in our life that hinders us, it should be easier for us to run the race that is set before us. Running a race is no easy task because it can be exhausting and frustrating at times. But the goal is to keep going, to keep running, to keep going the same path, not drifting off course, but going in the direction that God is leading us. Not where we want to go. It's God that has to lead us. And that's something that was brought up a lot with some of the members. Because there was a kind of a theme going on here with some of them. And it was those things that were in the world that were a distraction. And how can you have the strength and courage to go on? Well, you know the answer, but it's hard to do. There are times when fatigue sets in as we run this race and when we become weary. And we have to remember what some of the apostles went through with persecution, just as Christ had to go through. But remember this, those who persevere till the end will be saved.